Hey, welcome back in the final hour of the radio program. Good morning. Hello. Dirt and Sprague. In on the Monday after the July 4th weekend. This guy will be back tomorrow.
I love meat.
And that might not be good news for one.
Bad news, Dirt.
So full strength tomorrow, but we got a Breezy and Sprague edition here hanging out. And we've talked a lot about the World Cup, talked a lot of Blazers, put some poll questions up. We've had some fun today. How many hot dogs did you consume on the 4th of July weekend? Let's start there with our good friend Eric Gunderson, Blazer Banter. Read the newsletter, subscribe to the newsletter, also works for the AP. Let's start there, Gundy. How was your 4th? How many hot dogs did you consume?
You know, I really was glizzy maxing the weekend prior, and I grilled some chicken this weekend. So did some chicken thighs on the grill. So did not do any dogs this weekend, but I definitely got some. I got some Oktoberfest from Mount Angel a couple weekends ago, and man, those I love those. So those Mount Angel Oktoberfest sausages, I had quite a few of those.
Yeah, I hated to admit it, and I'm sad, but I could only do 3. I got to 3, and I was like, my stomach was like, dude, we're good. You don't need hot dogs normally. Like, I think you're good off 3. You don't need to get to 5. I had the 4th one ready, and I'm like, no, don't do it. Walk away. Walked away, ate some blueberries, called it good. It's really sad to admit this publicly, but I can't do more than 3, I think, in a day.
That's tough. And I agree with you, man. I can't either anymore. It used to be easy to put them down, but, you know, It's getting harder and harder these days. The stomach doesn't want the dogs.
I know. Yeah, the stomach's saying no thank you to the dogs. It's too much. You know what else the stomach's saying no thank you to? Rui Hachimura as a Blazer. You know what else the stomach's saying no to? Jaylen Brown as a Blazer. Trey Murphy as a Blazer. I talked about this earlier. I understand a lot of angles. You and I disagree sometimes. We text about hoops and the Blazer stuff. I have told myself, and I'm allowing the wiggle room of it's only July 6th, I have told myself mentally now, be ready for the Matisse Thybulle Vetmin sign, and oh, by the way, don't bank on those picks being traded. It'd be very Blazers to say, you know, 2028, the 8th pick in the draft could be very, very good for our budget, our sheet. And I think the NBA is telling us with the Jaylen Brown trade and some of the signings that the league is in largely kind of a saving money place, that people don't want to dole out these big contracts. And so Anthony Simons, you make whatever you want to say about him, 2 years, $12 million is insanely low to get a guy that could score 25 on a given night. I just think I'm prepared. I'm prepared that this is it. Matisse Thybulle's the move, and those picks that we long coveted of being good trade assets might never be traded. I might be going to a dark place for you. Where are you at now that Rui Hachimura is off the board?
Well, you know, it seems like staying in L.A. was kind of the priority for him. So if that's what Portland was dealing with, then it's kind of hard to, you know, be mad at them for not being able to get him. If the money's all the same and this guy doesn't want to move, then that's the conversation. I do think that, like, re-signing Robert Williams was an impressive thing, you know, given that there was a lot of interest around him, that, you know, there was rumors about the Lakers being interested, there was rumors about the Celtics being interested, and obviously those two teams both pursued other centers, the Lakers doing so in a much more expensive way with the Walker Kessler trade and contract. But, you know, I am not as down on not trading the picks, just because, like, when you're a smaller market like Portland, having those extra bites at the apple to get elite guys in the draft and or still save that. Let's see what happens with the Bucks. Like, let's say the Bucks, because right now they're running out here. They're going to the press conferences. We're going to be better than you think. Mm-hmm. They're winning the press conference. They're trying to tell people we're going to be good. We're going to compete. If that doesn't happen and they're not very good, all of a sudden the value of those picks goes up. And I do think that there's a lot of, I agree with you, there's a lot of cost awareness right now of everybody. And the Jaylen Brown trade is a great example of that. And teams don't want to pay max money to not one of the 15 best players in the NBA. And even if Jaylen Brown was one of those guys last year, like, I mean, it is a bit of a bummer because I got my hopes up about Jaylen Brown, and for him to get traded for 2 first round picks and a bad contract in Paul George, you know, as good as Paul George was in the games that he played last year, it's still a bad contract I wouldn't want to have. It's like $50 million a year. And I don't see a lot of difference between that deal and like Jeremy Grant and Shaedon Sharpe and the picks from Portland. But apparently they didn't value him, which, you know, gets into this whole analytics conversation, which, like, I think, you know, just repeating the numbers without any context to me is kind of missing the point about like the Jaylen Brown stuff. Like Jaylen Brown, the Celtics bench was really good. Jaylen Brown had to carry a crazy load, and like, someone could make a similar argument that Denny Avdija was somehow a negative for the Blazers, but we all know that would be BS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm in the, let's see what they do with this mid-level exception. I think Matisse Thybulle on the minimum would be a great signing. I just do think they need to do more. I don't know who they look at. There's not a lot of guys left. I'm, you know, it's like, who else is out there?
Did you see it's the internet, so maybe I've been butt cracked. I don't look at the actual things with some of these stories. Did you see that, according to one market, we're the favorite to land Zach LaVine?
Oh my God. Yeah, that one sent a chill down my spine. not gonna lie. Like that one sent a chill down my spine. I mean, hey,
we could bring Ja back. Why can't we make Zach LaVine finally a thing? We've only been trying to do it in the league for like a decade. Why can't we finally be the team that makes Zach LaVine a thing?
I know. It's like, you know, at a certain point, the subprime lending thing you have to evaluate these players as they are. And like, I don't see a world in which these guys trading for Zach LaVine is a good idea, given the fact that they have so many guards already. Like where is Shaedon going to get shots? And now you're going to bring in Zach LaVine, who's like older, you know, who's like just an older version of Shaedon, basically.
Yeah.
I don't see the vision there at all. Like, and I would be sick to my stomach if these guys traded Shaedon Sharpe for Zach LaVine.
Eric Gunnarsson, our guest here at Blazer Banters, where you can find him. Great newsletter. He's one of my favorites. Even if we're text disagreeing, I don't know if he's interpreting as me yelling at him, but I'm just enjoying it with a smile because I love talking hoops with him. You can follow him on Twitter, social media. He's got good basketball thoughts. Subscribe to the newsletter as well. Okay, so let's do the hypothetical conversation now. Let's just get in front of it. Let's say they don't use the mid-level. There's a few teams, I think, with mid-level room. Portland is one of them. And let's just say that they do just sign Matisse Thybulle, and that's it. And then they'll do the big press conference, and Ja Morant holding up the one jersey. We just had the quick piece on it. How explain to me, as somebody that, like, I understand the trade itself. You just broke down the trade. Good trade. It's take a flyer on clearer upside talent by giving away guys you don't want anymore. I totally get that. But let's add the context now of the roster. Now you've got four point guards. Now you got five guards in total, adding Shaedon. If all you do is sign a vet minimum wing that can be a little verse in guarding the three, the two, or the four, could you walk me down? How does this even make sense? How, like, it's one thing to say they can win some games. It's another to be like, how are they better? How does this make sense where 89, 91, 99. We're talking usage rates of three of the five key players here. That's what they are. How does this work? How does this make sense to you?
I mean, offensively, I see the idea way more than I see it defensively. To me, the idea of starting a backcourt with Damian Lillard and Ja Morant, just cool. They might try it. There's no way I see that being a viable strategy for 82 games, especially when you've got Scoot Henderson and Drew Holiday, and Scoot, you know, being younger. Like, Scoot proved he could guard bigger guys. Like, he can guard a two guard or even switch onto a three or a four if he has to, if they're going to try and post him up, because he's strong. He's got big hands. He can be disruptive defensively. I don't really see that from Ja Morant or Damian Lillard. And it's no fault of their own. It's their own. They have size limitations. And Ja too, the health thing, like that's the big thing for me. I mean, you're talking about a guy who I think he will, you know, when he plays, he can still do stuff, but he also has to like watch his own athleticism. Like he was saying, you know, during the season, like I can't dunk as much as I used to, or dunk as hard as I used to, because the way he flies through the air at his size is an injury risk. Now, it could work offensively. Defensively is where I have the trouble, because that's where this team's strength has been. And maybe, I guess, the calculus is, hey, you bring in Ja Morant, this guy can create more off the ball. Dame's 36, or on the ball. Dame's 36. Denny, you know, really his defense took a step back last year because he had to do so much offensively. If you can take some off his plate, maybe you get that defensive player that Denny was back. That's me trying to rationalize this. And also, I get the guards. I will say this. San Antonio just went to the finals playing four guard lineups.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but Fox is 6'3". Castle's what, 6'5", 6'6"? Harper's 6'6"? Like, I'm not saying you're not right, but also, like, we're talking Dame is 6'2". He's not a legit 6'3". You're talking about John Moran is 6', 160 pounds if he's soaking wet. You know, Scoot, to your credit, your point, like, he is strong. I don't think he can guard the three for very long, but, like, a couple possessions here or there. And Drew has always been kind of a combo guard more so than a traditional point. But, like, I think the difference there would just be kind of the sheer size of San Antonio. Like, Dylan Harper is a big, big dude.
Yeah. No, and that's, you know, when I wrote on my blog after it, I thought about, you know, Minnesota. You know, they traded Naz Reid, who's a super versatile forward, you know, who can dribble, shoot threes, get the basket, guard big guys. They traded him for LaMelo Ball. But the thing about Minnesota, just like San Antonio, like you're saying, Ant and LaMelo makes way more sense defensively. LaMelo is 6'7". And so, like, this is where I have trouble with the trade is, like, it's not that it's not a in a vacuum, it's a good talent bet. Mm-hmm. I have trouble seeing where the fit is with Damian Lillard and what has been put out that this is gonna, it's gonna be the team that's gonna start. My immediate question is, so for how long? Because I don't know, and this is gonna put a lot of pressure on Donovan Klingon. It's gonna be a lot of pressure on Robert Williams. It's gonna put a lot of pressure on this Carlson fella who they brought in from Oklahoma City. Young Hansen, if he gets to play, like, these big guys are good. These big guys are going to be doing so much recovery work if they're, you know, their plates are going to be so full. And so I that's where I have trouble with it. Now, we were talking about free agents. One guy that I haven't heard connected to Portland or anything, but is apparently on the market, kind of fits a little bit of the Dungeon profile of a distressed asset. And Jonathan Kuminga is on the market right now. I don't know, though, if, like, I don't know. I don't have any sourcing.
Yeah.
But, like, at least he, like, he passively played power forward for the Hawks in the playoffs.
He fits, like, a need that you have. You know what I mean? And the contract shouldn't be much.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, if you can get him for the mid-level, which it seems like the prices for all role players are coming down, that would be a pay cut for him. But I think based off of the market, it would probably be pretty fair value for him at the same time. I think that at this point, I wouldn't hate that signing if you're Portland. Like, at least you get a guy that plays a position that of need, where, like, we were all saying going into the summer, power forward was a need, and they still have not addressed that.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying on that. Maybe that's the avenue they go down. They're already doing the, you know, change the narrative on certain guys. I think the other side, too, is just, like, it's a bit of a negative viewpoint, but it's also realistic with what's happened, if you're just being honest, right? Do you worry about Rob Will and his injuries? Yep. Dame is 36. Next year's going to be his 37th year. He's coming off an Achilles. I hope he can stay healthy and play 82. I don't know if he will. Drew Holiday missed, what, 5 weeks last year? 6 weeks with his calf stuff on and off? Denny got his back hurt last year. And John Morant, I was like, what are you doing if, like, three or four of those guys miss substantial time? It becomes what you were last year, right? But maybe a worse version where you're doing the two-way, and I don't know how ready Young Hansen is. It's just a very – it's almost like Jalen Brunson, more so than the Spurs, broke his brain of, like, what if I just had a bunch of Jalen Brunsons out there? Whereas, like, as much as you're pointing to some smart stuff on the Spurs, I'm like, yeah. Also, they have Wimby behind him, and it'd be really nice. I'd be cool with the guard thing if you had a Victor Wembanyama. But you don't, and they're still, Gundy, we're sitting here today, they're still not addressing their shooting problem. Like, you can tell me Dame's a better shooter than anybody they had. That's fine. Who else is going to shoot for them? Because I don't know who to trust.
No, I mean, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, Ja hasn't exactly been a great three-point shooter, and that is going to be the key to Ja aging well, is him shooting threes. Because if he can't leap through the air like he used to because he doesn't want to get hurt, then he's got to be able to learn how to shoot if guys are going to go under on screens. And, like, you know, Scoot had that, like, you know, week or so, you know, 10 days where he was struggling to shoot and people were going under everything, and then he kind of worked through that and figured that out. Like, we've seen Scoot Henderson be able to hit pull-up threes against defenses that are daring him to shoot. I don't know that we've seen that from Ja Morant yet, as crazy as that is to say. I think that there's a lot of questions here. I think this team is very unconventional. I don't know how they're going to defend at the same level. And I think the injury risks are very valid. And, yeah, the shooting thing, I mean, I guess this guy from Oklahoma City, he takes like 2 threes a game, but he can kind of shoot. I guess maybe that's all. They're also betting that, hey, Klingon, what he showed last year is something that they can continue to build upon to get shooting and spacing that way with Klingon, who was pretty good from the three last year for a big guy. They didn't address it by adding personnel, which is what you thought. And in fact, they lost Jeremy Grant, who, like, for all of the, you know, the talk about his contract and how people, you know, wanted him gone for, you know, several years at this point.
Right.
Like, the guy shot 39% from three last year.
Yep. Yep. And he's 6'8".
And he's 6'8". And it's like, you know, he had to do a lot of stuff that he probably shouldn't have had to do. But so they're losing a positional fit there for this Ja Morant thing. And it could, maybe it'll be cool. But, like, I definitely have my doubts about the defense.
Yeah. I mean, you should have your doubts about the defense, even with Tamani and Donovan and Drew. But, like, I still largely have a lot of doubts. A couple more for you, because we appreciate the extended time and hanging out with you this morning. Looking at kind of the free agency thing and how it's all shaking out, how many teams would you, like, confidently, I'm not going to put the whole gun to your head thing, how many teams confidently would you say are worse than the Blazers today in the West? Because I can only name two.
Okay. I mean, I would say New Orleans, Sacramento, Memphis, and I would also put the Clippers behind them for sure, and the Suns.
Why the Suns were better than us last year? We just beat them in the play.
They did beat them in the play-in. I don't know if I see, like, year two, like, as much as I was big on the Suns last year, just because their over-under was so low, and I was like, Devin, but, like, I do think Devin Booker is maybe not as good as he once was.
Yeah.
I think that he, like, it looked like he lost the step in both in the play-in game, like, the fact that he passed up that last shot to Jalen Green was, like, kind of a red flag to me.
That was crazy.
Phoenix was a great story last year, but they also seem like a team that, like, everyone's now believes in them, and the second we all believe in them, then they're going to start disappointing us.
Yeah. Last one for you. What did you make of USA getting Balogun back for the Belgium match today and having the red card overturned?
I mean, it's great to be a host country in FIFA. Is kind of my takeaway. I remember when I was a little kid, you know, hearing from my older brother and my parents about how, you know, FIFA robbed Italy because South Korea was a host country and they were just fouling the Italians and bloodying them up and they got away with one. And they were saying this at the time and it was like, well, you know, when you're the host country, you get to do things like this. And so I think that's what's happening right now. Obviously, it's a little unusual because the president's literally making calls and bragging about it. But to me, this is also just like standard FIFA World Cup stuff that, you know, if you followed the World Cup for a long time, this is pretty standard behavior for a host country to get beneficial treatment like this. So I'm not mad at it. And, you know, I'm excited for this game. I was at the Senegal-Belgium game in Seattle last week, and incredible atmosphere, like, So I'm very excited for the game and rooting for USA.
Yeah, I saw you. Your seats look pretty good. I wanted to ask how much you spent, but I'm not going to pry into your finances. But they didn't look cheap. I'll just say that much.
they were a lot cheaper than what the tickets are going for the USA game. I'll say that.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be a lot of fun, man. Good stuff. Eric Gunderson, our guest, Blazer Banter. Follow him on Twitter, at Blazer Banter. Subscribe to the newsletter as the Blazers are out on Rui Hachimura and almost anybody else that can fill the void as of now. But, hey, wait and see. It's July the 6th. Let's not anybody freak out here. Good stuff, Gunny. Thanks for joining us, man.
Appreciate it, Sprague. See you later.
All right, there we go. Good stuff from Eric Gunderson on the Blazers offseason thus far. Rui Hachimura is a Clipper, and so more and more, day by day by day by day, we wait to see who they're going to fill the wing and the forward spot with. It's 9:22. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan.